Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, some cafe owners have found themselves left out of a fund to prepare their premises for COVID-19 safety measures because they don't have a licence to sell alcohol. The fund, administered by Fáilte Ireland, provides grants to cover costs such as installing perspex screens or developing outdoor areas and providing personal protective equipment. Well, I'm joined now by the leader of the Labour Party, Alan Kelly, and thank you, Alan, for joining us this evening. I know that you have sent out a statement on this, but in terms of what Fáilte Ireland has done, they had to put down criteria so that the fund would be geared towards tourism. I mean, it is Fáilte Ireland after all. And as it stands, 12,000 businesses can apply for it.
Yeah, and I've no issue with Fáilte Ireland, really. Excuse me, to be honest, I actually used to work there for many years and I know the job they're trying to do. But it is unfair. It's discriminatory. I was contacted by Louise in the Runner Bean Cafe in Thurles and earlier on today, and by Grania in the Pantry restaurant in Nina, and both of them couldn't actually get this grant. However, if they spent €500 and applied for a wine licence, they could get it, so they'd have net €2,000. So that's how farcical it is. Firstly, it's not Fáilte Ireland's fault that the fund is too small. It's 26 million. 5,000 of the 12,000 businesses in tourism are in some way food or drink related. So it's a sizable chunk. And by the way, there's an awful lot of organisations, companies that haven't, restaurants and pubs that haven't even applied for it yet. So I would encourage them to apply. But this anomaly should be sorted out. I think it's deeply unfair to so many independent, small cafes and restaurants across the country that do an awful lot for tourism, but yet are going to be €2,500 at a loss because they don't have a wine licence.
Yeah, I suppose, and that is the part that Fáilte Ireland is disputing, really, about how much these cafes do for tourism, because they've said that they see cafes, these small cafes, as providing a service really for the local population. And in order to focus on the tourism business, they had to set some criteria down. And this is a measure to stop, for example, larger cafe chains that you might see all around the country for applying.
Well, I would say to that, I live beside Lough Derg. I live near Ballina, Killaloe, Drumnir, Nina, all places along by the lake, and indeed in Clare, or up as far as Portumna and Galway. And like, there are a whole range of different cafes and restaurants that don't have wine licences that offer a very good service to tourists. And you and I, Sarah, could talk all evening about this, and we still wouldn't be able to fit a criteria to define what absolutely does offer a tourism offering or not. So I really think that this is just unfair. I think the fund should be increased to allow for the €2,500 to go to independent small restaurants and cafes. And there is a way of preventing the large chains. You just could say that anyone with a certain amount of turnover can't apply for it. That's the way of ruling out the Starbucks, etc.
And do you have any idea how much that will cost? I can imagine it would be significantly more if all cafes were allowed to apply for it.
Well, I would assume that it's going to go up. I would say you're hitting somewhere around 40 million, I would presume, or somewhere in the region of that, maybe a little bit less. But being honest with you, it's really unfair. It's just totally unfair. I mean, so many cafes and restaurants around that do have an offering are not going to get this. They're potentially going to close as well. So, you know, every little bit will help.
And are they not eligible, Alan, for other schemes, different government schemes, not specific to the tourism industry?
Yeah, some of them are. But then again, pubs and restaurants would be able to apply for some of those as well. So it's not really comparing apples with apples, oranges with oranges. The net effect is that these cafes and restaurants are going to be €2,500 less. And what I've actually been saying to some of them today, which is kind of ridiculous, is that apply for a wine licence. If the government don't change this, apply for a wine licence, and net you'll gain €2,000, because that's really the criteria which is set here, which I just don't think really stands up to scrutiny. So it's an anomaly. I'm not, you know, going to, you know, chase to go. I think it was probably unintended. So they just need to go. The minister just needs to go and fix this and do so quickly. And I think that would be the fairest thing to do.
OK. Can I ask you separately the date for the cervical check tribunal we found out today that has been pushed out by a few days? Are you happy with that? And do you think the request from Vicky Phelan and the women that she represents can be heeded from a legal perspective?
Sarah, there's one thing I'd just like to say here on this, which is quite just something that's come to my attention in the last hour or so. I'm very perturbed by the fact, if you go on to the health website, Department of Health website, it actually says that the Cervical Tribunal was commenced last night. Now, I understand that this may have been done accidentally by the minister, but I don't know how such an accident could happen. He made a commitment when he spoke to 2 to 1. I raised this in the Dáil last week because I knew of the issues. He made a commitment to speak to me and to speak to the 2 to 1 group. He spoke with them on Friday. He spoke with them again yesterday. He said he was going to weigh and consider all of their issues. But it looks like the government have gone ahead and set up the tribunal. And this is a serious issue because the clock starts ticking from the day that the tribunal is set up.
Yeah. And you're basing that, though, on what is on the department website, which I understand why you would take that as an official source, but it could be an administrative error. It could have been that that was due to be posted was posted.
I understand there's a communication to the 2 to 1 group which has told them that it actually has been commenced, that it is an error, but it's not an administrative error. It has happened. And by the way, once it has happened, the clock does start ticking, Sarah.
So, sorry, you've been told by members of the 2 to 1 group that the tribunal has started.
Well, that's what, if the net effect of what has gone up on the website is that this has happened.
Okay. Well, we'll try to see clarification from the Department of Health about it, but we only have 15 minutes to do so. It might not be possible in the lifetime of the programme, but we'll do our best.
My real issue is, do I think the issues can be addressed? Of course I think the issues can be addressed. Real issues here relate to, you know, if somebody goes through the tribunal and gets compensation. But then, for instance, the case has been met to me on numerous occasions, if a woman gets cancer a second time, they should be able to go back. That's a fairly obvious issue. There is also the issue about the tribunal being hostile, confrontational. There's the issues in relation to statute. There's the issues now in relation to the 9 months. And there's also the issues in relation to treating labs as third parties in there instead of actually directly being involved. All of this has changed since the Morrissey judgment. Now, the Morrissey judgment has really had an impact here. Now, I understand the minister has made commitments that he would look and try and deal with all of these and looked for a postponement of commencing the tribunal. That is what I understood up until an hour ago. But I'm really, really unsure now, given what is published on the website and what has been communicated to some members of the 2 to 1 group, which I understand is that this has in some way been commenced, if in error, maybe, but nevertheless, it is actually commenced because of it, officially.
Okay, and just finally then, do you think that the requests, for example, for that tribunal to not be adversarial, do you think that it is possible, Alan, from a legal perspective, to not have something adversarial? Or then do you just have a compensation scheme, effectively, and how do you run that?
Well, there is precedent here, of course you can, and I also believe that we owe it to them. I mean, the amount of times commitments have been made to these women and their families that have been failed. I remember the Taoiseach going on a 6-1 live, and I watched him and Leo Varadkar at the time, and he said that, you know, the labs, they would treat the women differently and they wouldn't be adversarial. That was not possible. I knew by the way he said it that it wasn't possible. There has been commitment made by the current minister while in opposition, which I have noted and documented, again, that it shouldn't be adversarial. I believe that is absolutely possible if the government are willing to work with the 2 to 1 group and take on board the deliberations that came through the Morrissey judgment in particular, who should never, ever, ever have had gone through what she did go through. And essentially, the government should never, I believe, have appealed that judgment in the first place.
All right, Labour leader Alan Kelly, thank you very much for joining us this evening.